Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our Sony Walkman.
Hey!
We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
That makes this Time Pop!
Time Pop.
That was one of our best. I'd say second best for synchronizing.
So I just have to say that the book that I'm reading right now is a time travel book, and they talk about Chrononauts. It's a time travel book, and the people who are going to go back in time are called Chrononauts.
What is this book you speak of, Ari? Could other people read it?
Yeah, I'm not done with it. It's really good so far, though. It's called All Our Wrong Todays.
Ooh.
Yeah, and so far it's really good. I'm about 80% through, and it's like exactly my type of science fiction. It's for time travel. It's trying to be as scientifically accurate as they can, but it's got love story in it, and I'm all about it.
Very cool. You know what we're going to do? We're going to switch it up just to get out in front of this and tell everybody what's coming down the pipe for Time Pop. October is going to be a big month for Time Pop and time travelers and movie enthusiasts all around. On October 21st, 2015. No, not 2015.
October 15th?
That was the original. No, 2015 was when they traveled to it in Back to the Future. But we have since passed that. We've already had hoverboards. Hoverboards are so 2015. But on October 21st is Back to the Future Day, and we are going to celebrate it by finally doing Back to the Future 3, closing out the holy trilogy right here. And we're going to be releasing on October 21st, which is not a normal release day, folks. So that is our gift to you.
That's crazy. This is the new best holiday of the year. I mean, whatever. Thanksgiving, eat some turkey. Star Wars Day, we wear our Darth Vader mask, which is pretty cool. But Back to the Future Day, a day to celebrate time travel.
I wonder if that's the date that Stephen Hawking threw his time traveler party. Do you guys know about that?
No.
No.
When he was still alive, he threw a party with a banner that said, "Welcome time travelers," and didn't tell anyone about it because his hope that somewhere in the future, when time travel is invented, that they will go back to that party and party with him. I think it was like...
It was June 28th.
June 28th, 2009, he did it.
We have more days to celebrate.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just curious if that was the date he chose. I don't know if he's a Back to the Future movie fan, but that would have been pretty cool. But yeah, he did that. He threw a party and didn't tell anyone about it, but had a big old banner that said, "Welcome time travelers." And of course, nobody showed up. But, you know, in the future, you know, we could be the first time around in the future. Someone could go back and see Stephen Hawking at his party.
It could happen. But then it wouldn't be a loop. And then everything we know about time travel is broken.
I feel like October 21st, it should be like daylight savings. To celebrate time travel day, it should become October 20th.
Oh!
Every year we go back in time.
A day.
After many years, it'll be 20 days earlier or later. It's very exciting.
That would be so great.
Yeah. This is, I think, a day that unites all of us time travel enthusiasts. I think it's about time.
It's about time. And we're going to continue. We're going to start the celebration early. We're going to be releasing every week in October. So on our other off week, so 2 weeks before that, we're going to be releasing our top 10 lists, our individual top 10 lists. People, we have recorded this episode. I was there. And I'm fascinated by what came out of this episode.
There were surprises.
So I have a confession. I thought about my list afterwards and I started to second guess it. I was like, oh, should I not have done that one? Should I have done that one, the other one instead?
We'll talk about that when we record Back to the Future. We'll talk about the mistakes we did or did not make.
Are we going to release our individual list or just the combined average list?
Well, we're going to release the episode. So everyone's going to get all the dirt.
That's good.
And then I will post all the information and everyone out there, it's a little bit dirty. It's a little bit muddy. And we're going to leave it that way because time travel is a little dirty.
Dirty? Maybe I wasn't there.
Not dirty like that, but just it's not a clean top 10 list.
It got real.
Yeah, there were opinions.
It got very real. I can't wait for that. So join us now in October and beyond for all things time travel.
Should we talk about our film?
Today in the present, we will be discussing Press Play from the past. You will listen to it into the future, which is now.
Cue music.
Hello? If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Press play! Direct. I can't remember who sent us this letter. I was looking for it, and I'm such a terrible, terrible host.
It was Melanie.
That confidence is going out the window.
Yeah, I just did a terrible job. Let me see if I... Oh, wait, I got it. I found it just like that. See, I found it when it mattered. Thank you, Melanie.
Oh, 86%.
It was directed by... Well, let's start at the top here, Desmond. Brand new, hot off the presses, 2022, PG-13... 1 hour and 25 minutes. Mwah! Directed by Greg Bjorkman, starring Lewis Pullman, who is the newest member of our two-time time travel movie club. He is also in Outer Range. And Danny Glover, thank you for blessing this movie. And Matt Walsh and Clara Rugard. Clara Rugard and Lewis Pullman are the titular press players in this movie.
Stop talking dirty all the time. Can we say the fun fact about Lewis Pullman? Do you know the fun fact? Did you guess the fun fact?
About Lewis Pullman?
Yeah.
The main guy.
Do you know the fun fact about him?
Wait.
It's pretty obvious.
It wasn't obvious to me.
Not Paxton, but Pullman?
Son of the great Bill Pullman.
The son?
The son of the great Bill Pullman. That's right. Lone Star is his dad. His dad saved the world from aliens on Independence Day. Congrats, Lewis Pullman. Welcome to the party. Good to have you.
Independence Day? Wasn't that Will Smith?
He's the president.
Oh.
Yeah.
He does, today we celebrate our Independence Day. He makes the speech. I just saw the name Pullman, and then I was looking at his face and the chin and the mouth, and then I had to look it up.
Totally. He's definitely got Pullman chin.
Son of Pullman. Check out his biography, Son of Pullman. That doesn't exist in Walden books everywhere.
And Matt Walsh at his most unfunniest.
I've never seen Matt Walsh in a serious role before, as he plays a dad. I'm a huge Matt Walsh fan.
Yeah.
Fascinating. I want to say this.
So press play.
Okay.
First thoughts. Press play.
I don't want this to sound rude, but...
You're not starting off on a good foot.
Yesterday, 2 days ago, I stepped on some glass barefoot. This is true. I had to go to the doctor today to remove the glass from my foot. And I think maybe the movie was more painful than that.
Wow.
I mean, that's just a thought. I didn't want that to sound as rude as that wasn't rude, was it? Was that offensive?
So we've done roughly 70 time travel movies. Is this number 70? Is it that bad?
Oh, is it the worst? No, it's not the worst.
Of all the ones we've done?
It is not the worst. No.
Really?
What's the one that we hated the most? We'll get into that another time.
That's called our bottom 10. We'll do that.
It's in the bottom 10 for me, personally. And I'll let you guys talk, and then we can get into it.
All right, Ari.
I mean... Okay, so it's not... As far as time travel goes, it's pretty light. There's actually a lot of holes. And at the end, I was just like, oh, this is just Butterfly Effect.
It's the poor man's Butterfly Effect romance story.
Yeah.
Without the darkness with an indie rock soundtrack.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because the writing was cheesy, the directing and therefore the acting was cheesy. It was very cheesy. I really tried to get into the love story of it, but it was difficult for me. I'm excited to talk about the holes of this movie, so I'm looking forward to that.
Holes.
Wow.
Desmond's going to be like, this is my favorite movie of all
time. Desmond loved this movie, didn't you, Desmond?
I really enjoyed this movie.
I knew it! See?
She said it during the movie. She's like, I bet Desmond loves this film.
The end.
I love you, Des, but wow.
It did like an old cassette tape that got eaten in my Pioneer car tape deck. It did unravel at the end a little bit.
I mean, it is Ari's right in the butterfly effect. It has a really similar vibe, and it's kind of the same vibe with the ending, at least one of the butterfly effect endings, the one that was like the most released version, where like they meet in the street at the end.
Yeah.
They had to let go of it, but then they still meet at the end and it's still a thing.
I don't know why. I mean, obviously this is...
If you enjoyed it, you enjoyed it. We celebrate all different opinions here.
Yeah. I feel like we've been watching a lot of mystical time travels. And so that has like really paved the way for me to just be like, well, whatever, however you get through time, who am I to fucking judge?
Like, that's how far we used to be like, let's break down the science. And it's like, oh, you go in your closet and you wish and it's genetic. And now we're like, yeah, it's a mixtape. And that there's no talk of if there's even mysticism. There's no talk of science. It's just when you listen to the mixtape, you'll go back to the time you heard the song because.
They try to infuse it with a little bit of just to pave the way a little bit of like, you know, there's so much heart and love that's put into these mixtapes that like only, you know, a certain people would appreciate.
So is it only this couple's mixtape, or do other people who have been loved and made mixtapes, can they also time travel? Or was it the Walkman? Or what is it that just enables that? I had hoped that Danny Glover would have, it was like a mystical person and he gave her that on purpose because he was like, I know how to time. This is a magical Walkman. They didn't do that. She just happened to time travel. And it was just because of the love and the songs.
Yeah, there's so much more they could have done, because there was even a moment where they showed a picture of Danny Glover's character with a woman, you know, and how it made it seem like he had lost her. And so they could have taken that a step further and maybe hinted that he did the same thing with his person with this specific tape or Walkman or whatever. And then
it would have given a reason. It would have given significance.
It felt like they wrote this script in like an afternoon and they're like, let's just make it, you know?
It's just like a music video for indie rock. There's a few movies that feel like we love indie rock and this is kind of just like music video for it. And this felt like that a little bit. But yeah, just some significance. We'll believe mysticism, but give us a base for that.
Yeah.
Tell us this Walkman was wished upon. This Walkman was passed from Danny Glover. This Walkman was owned by another couple who loved each other and something. Just give something, not just like, oh, I love him and the Walkman just puts me back.
I think they did enough groundwork in putting how much love and care he would put into this particular mixtape. Like they showed the moments that they shared for each song and the reason why each song was on the mixtape.
Right.
Those were special moments between them.
Yeah.
He has a particular kidesthetic. Is that the right word I'm looking for? Like, you know, like they talk about like why he likes vinyl, because you can touch it. And there's a big deal about, you know, side B, and side B never gets enough love. And like, again, I think for this movie, I think they did enough work. Like it wasn't a lot of work, but I don't think it was totally out of left field with all the little sprinkles they had in there about them talking about music. And like Danny Glover did talk about like the song him and his wife listened to on repeat the night before she died, like how important that song is for him.
How come he didn't travel back then if he loved her very much and it was a song that was important to them?
Because he didn't make a mixtape. He didn't put that extra.
Well, she traveled once without the mixtape, just with the song playing in the stereo. So it's not just the mixtape.
What?
Didn't she travel once when Danny Glover played it on the stereo?
No. Well, it was the mixtape, though.
Oh, yeah. It was the tape.
He played the mixtape.
On his stereo.
Magical tape.
The magical tape that could not be rewound, so she could not revisit.
Yeah, why exactly could this not be rewound?
So no rewind works on it, and you can't...
But here's the thing. If you flip the tape over and play it all the way through, isn't it automatically rewounded?
Probably wouldn't have worked. Again, he made this mixtape and put his love and power into this mixtape. And he was all about listening.
I made a lot of mixtapes of love and power.
He was all about listening to the whole thing and then turning it over. So that power of his love of music and how to listen to it infused into it.
I more than most people I know, I am a lover of the mixtape. I was a child of the 80s and 90s. Throughout all the eras of boomboxes, recording off radios, recording off other tapes, getting fancier in college and recording off my own TV and stereo system, and I could do movie quotes. I was a master of the mixtape. I definitely had given some to girlfriends. I expected so much more from the movie. Maybe I thought it'd be songs throughout eras also. I didn't think it would just be like new indie rock songs. I expected a lot. I have a lot of love for the mixtape, so maybe a little bit let down from that point of view.
When you go into it with high expectations.
Like, it'd be really cool if someone like had a varied music interest and was like, oh, here's a song from the 60s. Now I'm in the 60s. Here's a 70s song. Here's a, you know.
Where would they travel to in the 60s? To the studio?
Woodstock, bitch.
It always goes back to Woodstock.
Here's my first question for the first hole. So the first time she does this, she's sitting on her bed and she travels listening to the song. But they don't show that she disappears. And so at first you think that it's just her consciousness that travels and her body is still sitting there in her bed. And then eventually they show that she does actually completely disappear. So, I mean, you know me, I'm going to get into the science of this. What's going on there? Because where does her body go?
Her body goes into her old body.
Her body goes into her consciousness, into her old body.
Her whole being is shifted to that moment.
But the Walkman also disappears. Like, where does that go?
Oh, wow.
Oh, you're right. Because when she wakes up, she's holding the Walkman. She doesn't have to, like, pick it up on the bed where it fell.
It just disappears. They didn't consult any physicists on this one, I don't think.
No.
I have a more literal whole question. Why does this, and trust me, I've had many levels of Walkmans throughout the 80s. I'm a bit of a connoisseur of that. Why does this Walkman always stop after a song? That's not a thing a Walkman does. That shit will play to the end of the tape or the battery runs out.
Yeah.
So that's a new thing that was invented. I think whoever wrote this didn't actually have a Walkman, maybe?
Or like know how to use a Walkman?
They don't stop after a song.
Well, if it can't rewind.
Oh, it's because of its magical property. That was never defined. Would have been great for Danny Glover to be like, hey, this is the magical Walkman. Let me tell you how this works. It only goes forward. It can't rewind.
But it was,
you only have as long as one song.
No, it was the tape because she used different Walkmans.
Yeah.
It was the tape that That's was right. magical. It was infused with their love.
Yes, it was.
That's what made it magical.
So this is interesting. Can I infuse like a fork with my love and that'll be a time travel device?
Have you tried it?
I'm going to this evening. I don't know how to infuse a fork with my love. This is a dirty episode.
Oh, a remote control.
Yeah, that would be fun.
A couple Netflixing and chilling.
That would be fun.
And infusing that remote control.
With their love.
Just for fun.
Okay.
The magical songs in this movie.
Okay.
Are Boyish by Japanese Breakfast. Something to Feel Good About by Will Joseph Cook. Can I Call You Tonight by Dayglow. Hold What You Can by Amy Straub. How Lucky Am I by Ashley Jane. It's Hard to Be Human by Kina Granis. Something Realize by Father John Misty. That's at least side A. Hey, you want to know what I had a problem with? You guys want to talk about nitpicking?
Yeah.
That was a 90-minute Maxell, and they have about 33 minutes worth of music on it. But somehow they got to the end.
Yeah. What the F?
Wow, that's interesting.
They had another 40 minutes of music to put on there before she ever got to side B.
That's funny. Yeah, it showed like five songs, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 songs. But they're all indie rock songs. So they're like 2:45,
right?
3:30 tops.
I felt this movie felt like really rushed to me in terms of like, there's just plot line things that they're just like, oh, I guess that happened. And they didn't explain it. Their relationship, I didn't buy it. They just show a first date and like a second, and it was kind of a montage, but I'm like, how much time has this been? They've been dating a week? Has it been 2 years? Like, it's not clearly explained. They don't,
and also,
I didn't buy into it, their chemistry or the...
I mean, for someone to not go to medical school for someone else when they're supposed to be like in their early 20s.
Maybe they don't want to.
I don't think he wanted to anyways. He was only doing it for his dad anyway.
For his dad. I think they hinted at that.
Okay.
What I don't understand, since we're just all, I think we've pretty much covered the plot of this movie. this couple falls in love. While they're falling in love, they're recording this mixtape. He suddenly and tragically dies. As she's listening to the mixtape, she travels back to the moments that are the first time they ever heard these songs.
So that was one of the fastest synopsises we've ever given.
Well, there's more to it. And then while she's in the past, in her past self, she tries to warn him to not do the things that eventually make him die. But every time she goes back to the present when the song ends, he's still dead. In fact, he's died in a different way.
And other shit's going wrong too.
Yeah. Right. So she keeps going back to try to warn him. And every time it doesn't work, he dies in a different way. Other people die. Relationships change.
And she's looking at the playlist. By now she knows she can't rewind. So she knows, like, by looking at the playlist, she's like, because the playlist is in order. He makes this mixtape in real time as they're dating. And whenever they hear a song during a beautiful moment in a relationship, he puts it on the tape, and that's where she travels to. So she knows, like, I've only got three more chances to do. And she convinces him pretty quick that she's a time travel. So when she jumps back, she's, of course, the first time is really weird, and he just thinks she got slipped a Mickey. But then after the third time, she's fully convinced him, or he's fully convinced that she is time traveling. And so they're just going with it. So they both know that she's got three more shots to fix this.
I mean, you could say that was one cool thing about how the movie did, you know, when she travels back and she is the other person, she says, "It's me." And they immediately go into them talking, you know, how to save him. And he says, like, "You don't understand, when you leave, it's her." And she doesn't remember any of the conversation we just had. Yeah, like, I don't know how to tell her what you told me. I can't tell her that I'm going to die, and can't tell her anything.
I can't break her heart. I don't want to break her heart. Just be like, I'm fucking leaving because I'm fucking leaving, even though everything's perfect.
A weird thing that I thought about in this is, like, the future her goes back and tells him all this. He can't tell the present her. So, like, in that real relationship, there's a huge rift of, like, this major thing in his life that he worries about. And he's like keeping a secret from her, which kind of like messes with their relationship and intimacy. And it's not like he's cheating, but, like, he knows a major, that's got to mess with his head. He knows he's going to die. He'll just kind of one day look aloof and tired. She looks over, no, it's nothing. And he's got to keep this big lie from her, which, like, affects the growth of their relationship. Now the timeline's been messed up. Just a thought.
It's true.
Yeah.
And that has been Time Travel Ethics with Scott Lifton.
Ethically, now a relationship that was pure and open now is a big sham. And he's lying to her and not letting her know that he's talking to her older self and this big secret and that he's going to die. And how would that have changed relationship? If I knew I was going to die, I would probably, like, everything would be a little more intense. I'd look like a psycho. I'd be like, she'd, like, save your money. I'd be like, no, we should go spend it now. I want to go see the world. I want to do everything. My time's limited.
Yeah.
What do you mean? No, nothing.
Yeah.
It would be different.
I think there's less ethical issues since it's his death. If it was her death,
I'm just saying it would change knowing you're going to die and this constant thing throughout your life would shift your personality and perspective a little bit.
Yeah, it's true. But I guess in his mind, she left by saying, like, don't do this one thing. And so he doesn't do that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Now thinking he's going to be fine.
And then she comes back and it's not. And this after three or four times, he's like, okay, this is.
Yeah.
So during one of her flashbacks, they're having a party at the record store. While they're having the conversation, at some point she convinces him to break up with her, I think, during that timeline, because then she passes out because I thought for sure the tape was getting eaten. But when we come back, we realize that the tape isn't there anymore because it never got made because...
No, it still got made, but they broke up and it got put back in the store.
That's right.
Or in the box. And she found it. So it still got made, but because they broke up,
she never got it and played it.
Yeah, but the same songs were still there up until that point, and it still didn't save his life, like breaking up with him.
But she does, in the process of that, because she knocks something over when she passes out at the record store, a candle rolls out and burns down the record store. So then that forces her to go visit Danny Glover, and then that's when she is able to convince him that it's real. At one point, he puts it in the tape deck in the stereo, presses play, she vanishes, comes back. And then he says, look, you've tried this four times. It's not working. Just enjoy the time you have left. Oh, that's something I don't think we said either. Like, the song plays, she gets the length of the song when she's back in time. She only gets that 2.5-3 minutes. So it's not like she can go back and, like, really hang out with him and really fix some shit and just be there. But yeah, he's like, you've been given a beautiful gift of a second try. So just enjoy that.
Instead of trying to fix it.
And she tries that a little bit, but then is still, when she realizes she's got one more shot,
So there was a what you just described, where she's at Danny Glover's house and he sees her do that. And then she went back and she prevented the fire from happening. So the fire never happened. So she changed the future. So when she goes back and changes something, it's butterfly effect, right? It's ripple effect.
Yes.
To the present. So when she went back and saved the store from being burned down, the record store from being burned down, technically Danny Glover's character should not have remembered the conversation they had in his house where she disappeared when he played that tape.
Oh, yeah.
But he did.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
So that's a huge hole. Why does he remember, but nobody else does, except for obviously her?
Because, yeah, when she comes back that time, she's in the living room and she comes back to the same place, but it's some mom with a daughter. So I don't know why he burnt down his record store and then bought this really nice beach house. I don't know where he's living before it burnt down. What hovel he's stuck in. Oh, my record store is up and running. I'm living above a fucking liquor store.
It's like the movie wanted to tap into a few good time travel ideas, like the missing tape or coming back to a different house. It just doesn't follow through or try too hard. It's a time travel film like second, right? It's a romance and indie rock montage first.
It's the new About Time. It's About Time 2022.
No, it's like what Scott said. It's the poor man's butterfly effect.
Yeah.
It's the more positive man. It's the less dark butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Because he uses his diaries, which what's a mixtape if not a diary?
Right. So in the end, I mean, we should finish this because I want to talk about another weird hole. She realizes that she needs to let him go. Right, to break it up.
So she tried all these things.
From the beginning.
Nothing has worked. It's been like six songs. Nothing works. She tries to warn him every time. He just dies a different way. She finally has one song left.
On the B-side. She didn't realize he said fresh start on the B-side and there's one more song on the B-side.
Right. So she flips it over and she's about to go travel and see him. And she takes Danny Glover's advice at this point and she's just going to enjoy it. And she's about to walk into the record store the very first moment that she met him, and she stops outside the window and she decides no and walks away. And that, of course, is what needed to happen to save his life.
It's also what happened in Butterfly Effect. No big deal.
And then, of course, later on, 4 years later, after I'm sure he's done with college, there's a holiday party with her friend. It's her friend is his stepbrother. He shows up, sparks fly, the end.
So it's okay to meet 4 years later. It's not, but heaven forbid they met before school, then the universe falls apart and everybody's going to die. But now that they wait 4 years, he doesn't have to die.
Yeah.
So they can be together. They just couldn't date for 4 years. Again, there's no cosmic force saying this, but that's kind of what's being spelled out for us.
Yeah.
The
moral of the story is go to college.
Go to medical school. Yeah. this was like a Grimm's fairy tale. And this was a Grimm's fairy tale. If you don't go to college, you're going to die in one of many ways. But if you let him go to college and do what he needs to do, then they can be together. It's a weird message to send. If it was just like they were toxic for each other or the universe. Like,
yeah.
There's no explanation of why the tape works. No explanation of why cosmically. Maybe he becomes a doctor and he cures cancer. And so the universe needs to make sure that he cures it. That's the best thing I can come up with. Because if they just couldn't be together cosmically, but they can be 4 years later. Why?
Well, and it seems so like final destination.
Yeah.
Until then too. So it's like the Grim Reaper wanted this dude bad.
Right.
So
but
why?
Now.
Why?
It's just that she had to break up with him in the right way. She couldn't just meet him a little bit and then break up. She has to never meet him.
Yeah.
So he can be focused on his studies and then they're good. I don't know.
I think in Press Play 2, He has to go through it. I think 6 months after they start that mixtape, he dies no matter when.
No, Press Play 2, they break up, and then he has a girl that he dates, and she dies, and he has to go and do all this stuff. And then in 3, it's like, oh, not again.
Press Play, so next one is Press Play Side B.
Yeah.
And then Press Play Remastered.
It's like streaming. It's a playlist. It's like a Spotify playlist. And he makes sure it's much longer.
And then And then press play the box set, and then
press play, flip the record. Press play, 8-track is number 8 will be 8-track.
Yes, all 4 sides.
And then number 9 is Jason Goes to Manhattan, where Jason Voorhees tries to make a mix. Did he just walk out for his pee and not tell us?
I think so.
Folks, oh, okay. I thought you just went out for a pee and didn't tell us. How rude.
No, I was just trying to blow my nose. My usual box of Kleenex was not where it usually is. So
intriguing time travel. The old Desmond went back, moved the tissue box to see if that would cause a ripple effect. No one's buying into my theory, but he did find a tissue. That was the best version of a synopsis. I think we didn't get into the unnecessary stuff, but we said it quickly. And I mean, it's probably a pretty simple film.
It's a very simple film.
Yeah.
Speaking of unnecessary stuff, a little gift I have for the listeners right now, and maybe you guys, would you like to hear songs about time? We're not going to play the songs, but 20 songs about time travel.
Oh.
There are 20 songs that exist that are about time travel.
Yes, there are.
And you're going to tell us the title of these songs and the artist?
Yes.
Great.
Oh.
I mean, there might be like, If I Could Go Back, or like,
If I Could Turn Back Time.
Is Yesterday by the Beatles in this?
If I Could Find a Way.
That one's in it.
That one's in it.
Yesterday.
The Year 3000 by Busted.
That's in the future. Okay.
I didn't know this. I never really knew this was about time travel. Iron Man by Black Sabbath.
Oh, like the future?
I guess.
More future stuff. Yeah. Okay. All right. Counts.
Silver Time Machine by Death in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
You know this one? No. Oh, okay.
If I Had a Time Machine, That Would Be Fresh by MC Lars. I got to check that one out.
Hey, MC Lars. I know that.
Back to the Future by International Superheroes of Hardcore.
Is that for the movie or it was just a song? Okay.
Just a random song. If I Could Turn Back Time by Cher.
Okay, sorry.
Let me see. I'm going to try to find some of the highlights.
I mean, I would suggest on my list, Electric Light Orchestra, known as ELO, has a concept album called Time.
Oh.
That is all about time travel in the future and the songs. It's a full concept album. And there's like A Letter from the Future is one of the songs. And one's about, it's a full concept album about time and time travel. So, and it's really good.
It might be on here. I'll see. I haven't looked at this full list yet. Time Travel, ! Yes! ! By the Flaming Lips.
Oh. So. We also did a cover of the song Do You Realize that was in this movie. Or did they do the original? I thought they had done the original and this was the redo.
You guys are losing me.
Sorry, the song Do You Realize that was in the film is a Flaming Lips song as far as I know.
Oh.
And this guy was doing a cover of it.
Yes.
I think Flaming Lips does the original, right? I'm going to look it up.
I think so.
What else does? Keep going.
39 by Queen.
Oh.
And I thought there was more artists in here that I recognize. I won't go through all 20 because there are a lot of random artists, but I will put this, I'm going to make a little playlist myself and listen to some of these. And I'll put this list in our notes also. The last one is Traveler in Time by Blind Guardian. So yeah, kind of interesting. I looked it up. I did a quick Google search hoping I'd get 2 or 3. So the fact that I got a 20 songs about time travel, I thought was pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's more. I was watching something literally yesterday. I for some reason cannot remember what it was. I think it was an animated something or another. Oh crap, I can't remember. But it had time travel. It had time travel in it. And you wouldn't think that it would, but an aspect of the story was, oh, we're gonna go back in time and do this. And it's becoming, and I've said this before, very mainstream. Like time travel is just part of the stories now for a lot of things, a lot of different things.
It's going to happen. Just like, you know, when Star Trek first came out, it was just, this stuff will never, ever happen. And now we're on the precipice of living in the Star Trek world.
Woohoo! That's my dream come true.
Woohoo! Fantastic. Did we miss anything?
She gave up on her art. She started humping guys she didn't like. She was cold and dead inside.
Well, that's when he died. He's talking about the end.
After he dies.
Yeah, but Des is talking about it at the very end.
It's 4 years.
No, we're good. We got it. We covered it. Don't see this movie.
Oh.
See this movie.
No, don't.
Some people like it. What age are you?
You guys are totally right. But with all of the time travel movies that we've done that are just like, and then I guess they time travel? I don't know. Like, this doesn't stand like out for me against a lot of the other wacky shit that we've seen that causes people to go through time.
When I read that this is Barry, when he does his criteria, we talked about this in our top 10 list. It's kind of like, is this, you know, is it plausible? Like the mechanism used for time travel, is that interesting and plausible? So that's one this movie did not have, or even an explanation. Even if they just said it's magical, someone wished on it, great. They didn't even give us that. Then there's the, like, you know, in terms of like the loop, the holes, and like, does it make sense and plausible, and their time travel and how they do that and that at holes. And there was just any of the things that we'd rated on. Did it bend our mind? Did it like really like kind of test, like make us think and like kind of, you know, make us think outside the box? And nope. It's just, and none of the criteria that he used for like a good time travel film is in this. So that's why, you know, whatever. If you like indie rock films and romance and time travel is like a secondary thing, then great. Enjoy this fine piece of cinema. Does it have heart?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got some heart to it.
It's a love story. You love someone so much, you're going to, you know, go back in time and try and save them.
I just love the concept of time traveling the mixtape so much, though. I feel like it'd be great for like you had a parent and you found their mixtape and you got to go back to earlier decades, or a child that doesn't know about all that stuff. And like, I don't know, that would seem like more.
There's more you could have done.
That'll be for the sequel. I mean, we've seen letters, we've seen closets, we've seen mixtapes now. What is the strangest? I mean, we've seen telephone booths, we've seen hot tubs. Yeah. I don't know. I wonder what the strangest time travel method we've seen is.
We'll figure that out when we do our next list. Or actually, that'll just be a discussion. We'll just talk about all the different ways of time travel.
Yeah.
All the different machines and mechanisms.
The different subgenres, the different devices. Yeah.
I say watch this movie. It's 85 minutes. It's filmed in beautiful Hawaii. It's well made.
It's got a surfing montage.
It's got a surfing montage. I mean, come on, people.
Can't go wrong with that.
I mean, I got the idea that like Danny Glover is just living in Hawaii and they were like, who's around that we can throw?
Yeah, like, do you want to be in our movie?
I know, Matt Walsh and Danny Glover. That's a random combo. They must have been like on vacation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a low budget film.
But like, you're going to be in Hawaii. It'll only shoot for 3 days. Please.
That's a really good point. Why those guys?
Yeah.
Why do Matt Walsh if he's not going to be funny? It's really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's the question of would you time travel in your mixtape?
Oh, God. Yes. Yes.
No.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Well, the question is just, would you time travel on a mixtape or would you do it to save the person you love? I guess that's more the applicable question.
Either way.
I would either way. Yeah, I would either way.
Hell yeah.
I would have made a better mixtape. I might have put more variety on that thing.
Well, my mixtape though, kind of like you, Scott, I like to put in a lot of like little excerpts and like fill-ins and stuff. So there'd be like some songs that were like 4 seconds long because I just wanted that one line from it.
Yeah.
And where would way before Dr. Dre did it, I was putting the THX intro at the beginning of mixtapes. Like, where does the THX intro take you to?
I had this proud moment. I'm trying to remember what I did. I think I had like some part of Platoon playing or something. And then I went into like Stop, Hey, What's That Sound? I mean, For What It's Worth by Buffalo Springfield.
Oh.
But very intentional of the order of my mixtape. I mean, it was, you know, it took you on a journey.
Hell yeah.
And of course, if it's like to like a girl you like at the time, but it's not there yet, the subliminal like love song just hidden in there under the groovy songs, just to like subliminally affect her brain.
Throw in a little bit of It Takes Two. You know, it's a dance song, but you're getting your message across.
Oh, yeah. subliminal manipulation. That's smart.
Exactly. So you wouldn't at all, Ari.
You know, I must have missed that boat. I never got into mixtapes. I listened to tapes, but I never made mixtapes.
Do you want me to make you one?
I'm CDs. For me, it started to be with CDs. So
I made mix CDs later on.
Yeah, mix CDs was more where I was at.
Okay. Okay. So you get a mix CD that travels through time.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, if I had to save someone I love, yeah, absolutely, I would use this. But for me, it would have to be more. Like, can I really change the future? I would want to go back and change something.
Really? That's your only catalyst for time travel?
Not just experience time travel?
For this way, I mean, I'm trying to think.
It's time travel in 5-minute increments, according to songs.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there are...
To a specific place.
there are times like I hear like in high school, you know, like school dances and driving with your high school sweetheart in their car. Sure. Experience that for 5 minutes. Sure. That would be cool.
Why not?
Why not?
Scott, make me a time traveling mixtape.
Ooh.
Do it.
It'll probably be like a Spotify streaming list, a private list.
We'll have to make a time pop Spotify.
It'll be a concept piece. Yeah, I'll start you with like a song from the ELO one, like Time Has No Meaning. And then I'll start with Yesterday. And then we'll do some like the present city.
And then that goes right into Huey Lewis.
Yeah. Gonna get back in time.
Gonna go back in time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Time Pop. Check us out at Time Pop Pod on Instagram. That is time_pop_pod on Instagram. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. You can send your movie request directly to us at timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. And there are plenty of more podcasts if you're interested in something else to listen to while you're waiting for the next fabulous Time Pop episode. Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com. We have lots of things to tickle your eardrums.
Oh.
Kinky.
Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Scott Lipton.
Let's have some fun with this podcast. God damn it. That's right. I'm fired up.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
I just want to make love to your eardrums.